GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. So Brian Gavin is on the line. Yes, the same Brian Gavin who reffed in, I think, 4 All-Ireland hurling finals. Brian, do I have that right?
Yes, Joe, four. Lucky enough to be involved in 4 and 3 of them, I think. Savage games, I can say. Yeah, brilliant games.
What were the 3 again? What were the best ones?
The 2016, the Tipperary, Gavin Norton display against Kilkenny. I think the replay in 2014, JJ Delaney, the Hook and Seamus Callan, and obviously 2011, I suppose, when Tommy Welch split me open, so I'd definitely remember that anyway.
Well, we'll get you and Tommy on the phone some night and we can go down memory lane.
That's for certain.
So you're working with Midlands at the moment, doing some commentaries on the football, and people would have seen, I'm sure, the result come through, Wicklow Offaly. Wicklow, who finished bottom of Division 4, came through in extra time against Offaly. That was Wicklow's first championship win in Leinster in 5 years. And Offaly remained stuck on one win in Leinster in 11 years. So things continue to be not brilliant in Offaly. It's Stephen Wallace's first year in charge. Came up from Kerry, won 3 All-Irelands down there as a manager. He won 2 All-Ireland junior crowns in 2015 and 16, and then won an intermediate All-Ireland as well in 2015 with his home club as well. And I think Billy Sheehan's involved as well. So, you know, on the outside of things, it maybe looks like a fairly progressive, interesting move when someone like Stephen Wallace is given a chance. It seems it's not working out.
No, Joe, unfortunately it's not. And it's, you know, the county board, when the review committee that was set up went to appoint a manager, the thought probably Stephen Wallace was a young, enthusiastic manager, relatively new to inter-county scene. It would have been his first county. But I suppose even the problem early on, Joe, was even to get selectors for him, and even local selectors, which would be very disappointing. And eventually, one of the people that was on the review committee, Paul Mullen from Forban, ended up, you know, having to become a selector. So,
and why were they struggling, do we know, to get someone?
Look, there's a lot of lads that have been used maybe in the last few years, but, you know, the question is maybe did we ask enough fellas, branch out, and did we ask enough people in Offaly to get involved or become a selector? And maybe did we need to go outside of Offaly to get a manager? You know, we're after trying a good few in the last number of years, maybe possibly 9 managers in 20 years. So it hasn't been all rosy in the football end of it.
And of those 9, Brian, would the vast majority of those 9 have been Offaly men?
Some of them would have been going from Paul O'Kelly, Pat Flanagan, Emma MacDonald was on the border. You know, we would have had a mixture of inside. Tommy Lyons, obviously, was our most successful manager, but Tommy had experience from Dublin, and, you know, he got lads really going in 1997, and, you know, things really lifted that time. We won the National Football League in 98, we won the Leinster in 97, but since then we haven't really competed anywhere near what we probably can or should be at, you know.
Yeah, and I saw that the county board came up with a committee to try and find a new manager, and there were a couple of former players on the committee, Vinnie Claffey, Finbar Cullen, Paul Molan, were all given their say, and so they came up with Wallace. In the league, in Division 3, Offaly finished 6th, so they won 2, they lost 4, they drew 1. Not spectacular, maybe not utterly dreadful either. We might get into the specifics of some of the behind-the-scenes issues it seems there were at the weekend, but throughout the league campaign, were there murmurings of discontent? Was what we saw at the weekend coming?
No, and actually, I covered all the games in the Auburn Cup, and I even remember going to Parnell Park where we drew with Dublin, and young Keane Johnson kicked 5 points that night. I remember sitting beside Brian Carty, and he was excited. I was excited as well, you know. New, fresh lads coming on to the team. Things looked to be going well. We're after beating Wexford in the Auburn Cup. We drew with Dublin. We lost our 3rd game. And, you know, we were optimistic when the league started, but the first round of the league, Longford actually went to town in Offaly, and no one saw it coming. Everyone called that a 50-50 game on the day, but Longford destroyed Offaly, and that was the start then of a worrying process. We went on to play another couple of games, and in the Fermanagh game, there was words exchanged with one of our better players, Johnny Maloney from Tullamore, who would be centre-back. He'd be a good man coming up the pitch, driving forward, setting up attacks. There was words with management there. It escalated. We thought it might be resolved within a week or two. It wasn't resolved, and Johnny Maloney walked away from the panel, unfortunately, because, Joe, we had already lost maybe 9 or 10 players from last year's panel through travelling, through retirements and one thing and another. So it was worrying signs then were coming, you know, midway through the league. We were definitely facing Division 4 in the face. There's nothing more certain. But then we got a win away to Wexford, which gave us a great boost. And then it was an awful game with Offaly and Sligo. It was finished 8 points apiece, and a game definitely Offaly should have won. And then there was pressure going on to the Westmead game. We were fortunate that Westmead had nothing to play for in the last round, and we beat Westmead by 6 points. And to even see the emotion on the players' faces that day in Mullingar, they were leaping and jumping because they hadn't much joy in the previous league games, yeah. And Offaly had survived Division 3. So the league campaign, we sort of survived, but it wasn't anything hectic out of the ordinary, that's for certain.
Right. So in the midst of all this, Wallace is given an 8-week ban for punching someone on the sideline down in Kerry, and that's ultimately brought up to a 12-week ban then on appeal. So that's not ideal. And Maloney leaving the panel is obviously not ideal. What's going on behind the scenes at the weekend in this game against Wicklow then? And I know you spoke on Midlands yesterday and people might have seen the comments, but for those who didn't, it seems there was all sorts of things which don't look ideal at the from the outside going on.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when the news broke, I suppose this is the biggest turning point in the whole story, and we lead up to Sunday's game in a second, Joe. There was a sickening feeling round Offaly when video footage came through of the Stephen Wallace incident in Kerry, even from the players' point of view, that here's a man that's over them, that's, you know, they're really respected and we're getting on well. And I'll just touch on the Billy Sheehan for a second, Joe. The players really enjoyed the training Billy Sheehan was doing with them. It was said it was as good as they've ever been at. But their man management and maybe their shouting and effing and blinding the players didn't go down well. But apart from that, they were enjoying training, but they didn't like the man management side. But the Stephen Wallace incident in Kerry left a very sour taste for everyone. And he got an 8-week suspension out of that game. We discovered last week when the final hearings went, it was increased to 12 weeks. So that was a really sour taste coming into this game. I suppose the start of Sunday was Rory Allen, who's from Road, a fine footballer and a nice fella, and Rory won't mind me saying this. He went travelling and he was in Australia. Now, he's only home 3 weeks, Joe, and he started a wing forward. So you can imagine some of the players that have been there since maybe October, November, training hard, going through the mill, maybe 5 times a week they could be even training, and Rory Allen starts. So that leads to a little bit of dissent in the camp. Our full-back, who is James Lawler, was told maybe an hour and a half before the game, he was said, by the way, James, I forgot to tell you earlier, you're not starting. So
there was a couple of things. Would he have been a regular?
Yeah, well, he'd be on and off the team, okay. Joe, and he's a good young lad. He was played under 21 for Offaly the last couple of years, a very dedicated young footballer from the Raheem Club. So he was going to be disappointed. I suppose our top scorer in the National Football League, Nigel Dunn, who was playing fantastically through the league and was our chief scorer, didn't start again brilliantly again with Wicklow, but was starting to really come into what I felt. He laid off a couple of balls to Bernard Allen, and we got a couple of scores. He'd missed a couple of frees, but he was called ashore with 7 minutes to go before half-time. And me and Brian Darby in the commentary just couldn't believe what we were looking at. And talking to a few people at half-time, we just couldn't believe it. As the second half then started, we got word that Nigel Dunn was heading for the car and was going home. And as we all know, it wasn't Nigel's first time to go. But with amazement, like, with 15 minutes into the second half, we discovered we hadn't a free taker. Alan Mulhall had come up to take a free from goal, had missed it. So maybe the management sort of panicked again and put Nigel back on, which looked drastic. And the players that was on the field were under impression that Nigel Dunn was gone at this stage. And here he is, back on the pitch, and Offaly get a penalty. And Nigel, of course, takes it. And the worst-case scenario, it's saved. Yeah. And it's a disaster, really. And then our centre-back, Sean Pender, who'd be a stalwart, he'd probably love to play a cornerback because he's one of the best cornerbacks around. He was taken off and he told one of the management exactly what he thought. So it escalated from all there, and there are a few incidents, Joe, that happened. So it really wasn't a good situation, you know, as you can imagine.
So is this thing so serious that there's a feeling that Wallace may even go before Offaly's next game, or is there a hope that it can be resolved in some kind of clear-the-air meeting between management and panel this week, or do we know?
I suppose Tommy Byrne, as chairman now, has a bit of a big role to play in this. He has to probably make a decision. He has to talk to the players involved, that's for certain. He definitely have to talk to management. There was rumours. There's not rumours. It's a fact that 6 or 7 of the players said they will not go back if Stephen Wallace continues on as manager of the Offaly, and we just can't. We've only 26 or 7 training as it is, so we couldn't lose another 6 or 7, that's for certain.
And how do we know that, Brian, or when was that said?
Well, it's broken through to the RTE website today that players have confirmed that they wouldn't be going back under the management. And I think they have let the county chairman know, Tommy Byrne. So,
and are these potential starters?
Oh, I'd say maybe three or four, Joe, definitely potential starters. Obviously, you know, we won't mention names and that wouldn't be fair to the chaps involved,
sure.
But definitely. So there was a rumour that there was going to be training tomorrow night. I can't see that happening, and waiting to see who turn up nearly, which is, you'd nearly think that was a Junior B situation, you know, who'll turn up and what'll happen. So it's unfortunate for Stephen Wallace and his backroom team. In fairness, I interviewed him a few times. I found him grand. I couldn't have any complaints. But as I said, I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the incident in the Kerry Club game. It just left a very, very sour taste. And the players then, I'd say, were disgusted with what they saw. And it hasn't got any better, plus the Johnny Maloney incident. So yeah. I just can't see that he's lost the complete dressing room at the moment, and I just can't see a way back. And unfortunately also, Joe, that former players who really put work into Offaly for down through the years, Alan McNamee, Rory Allen, you know, they have said tweets, which is on social media, and they've got likes from some of the current players. So it's a real mess, to be honest with you, Joe. And I just hope that we could get over this and maybe appoint someone for the qualifiers and start looking to Division 3 next year to try and build momentum. Because, actually, Joe, we have a nice under-20 team at the moment, and I ref the minors last night in a challenge against Laois, and they have a lovely set of players coming as well. So right. It mightn't be all doom and gloom if we can just get our house in order in the next few months.
I don't know Stephen Wallace, and I wouldn't really know a lot of the Offaly players well, for obvious reasons. They haven't been the most high-profile or had long championship runs over the last while. But, you know, I just trying to do a bit of research today, and you look up someone like Nigel Dunn. As you mentioned, he's left before when he's been taken off and it hasn't been to his liking. Now, admittedly, it was in 2014, so he may have grown up a bit since then, in fairness to him. But he did do an interview 2 years ago where he talked about being taken off at half-time in Roscommon. And he said, "I rang my father, got him to collect me back at a stand, drove home, and by the time the match ended in the Hyde, I was sitting at my kitchen table eating a breakfast roll." So, you know, that's not exemplary. Are these perceived to be in any way maybe a difficult group to manage? Did Pat Flanagan get on with them okay? Because it can be easy maybe to put all the blame on Wallace. And I say that again, I'm an honest broker. I don't really know the ins and outs of this.
Yeah, and as I said to you, Joe, like, I would know a huge amount about Stephen Wallace, but the reports coming from a lot of Kerry people, you know, that different fellas in Offaly would have talked to in the last 6 or 7 months, a lot of them, Kerry people, would have said it was a very strange appointment. You know, maybe that Stephen had a tendency to lose the cool at matches and different things, you know. So it's hard to know that way, Joe. Nigel Dunn, obviously, the problem we have is if Nigel Dunn was taken off, you know, there was no way he could come back on, especially after what happened at halftime. So, you know, as you said, he went in Roscommon in 2014. No way should he have been brought back on, because he wasn't in the right frame of mind. And I know Nigel, and he has matured, as Will O'Callaghan has said earlier, he has matured hugely, and he is our chief scorer at the moment. Mm. Him and Bernard Allen are our two top scorers. So.
And the group generally, Brian, are they perceived as a...
Yeah, as I said, Joe, at the start, we've lost 9 or 10 from last year, so it's a transition period, but a lot of them will be good fellas at under-20 level. Yeah, I wouldn't see the current crop being hard to handle, you know, even... Mm. Johnny Maloney, you know, who had the argument earlier, you know, he would really put Offaly first, because he gives it all when he goes out in the game. So it's just unfortunate what has happened. And there's no winners in this, Joe. And this is not Offaly washing their dirty linen in public ground like that. This is just reality that we have to learn from this. This can't go on again. It's gone on enough times in the last few years in Offaly. And we just have to get our house in order, like the hurling is. Like, the hurling is in a fantastic place at the moment, with commitment and effort and passion, you know, so and go different from the football.
Did Stephen Wallace speak after the game on Sunday? Did he say much?
No, see, Stephen is serving a suspension, so he wouldn't be really
out. Can't do media either.
And as you, Joe, the pictures doesn't look well of Stephen Wallace, you know, with a hoodie and a hat, and you could see the earpiece. It doesn't look well, and it's not what you'd expect as an inter-county manager, and, you know, and it's just such an unfortunate incident for everyone involved.
Okay, well, we'll certainly give him a chance to respond, or give him a platform on the show, and obviously we're all looking in, and people are going to have different opinions on things. Brian, thanks a million for filling us in and all that. Appreciate it.
No problem, John. You're welcome.
Cheers. Brian Gavin there, former Intercounty Hurling referee and football commentator now with Midlands Radio. It's still Aston Villa 0, Middlesbrough 0, 52 minutes in the clock, 1-0 to Villa on aggregate in this championship semi-final playoff. We will take a short break and then football show next.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.